this is a reading from Whispers from Eternity, a book of prayer demands by Paramahansa Yogananda. This is prayer demand number 23 for removing the cork of ignorance. No more shall my consciousness remain bottled in this little vessel of flesh corked with ignorance. No more will I remain moving through the sea of cosmic consciousness, night and day, years, decades, and how many incarnations, so close, yet never able to contact thy sea, through the bursting vibration of cosmic sound and the surging of thy holy name, I have removed the cork of ignorance which so long separated me from thee, though we live together so closely. Now my body consciousness will meet thy all-surrounding, all-pervading consciousness. No longer will I walk heedlessly in thee, but never knowing and feeling thee. Thine image within me shall meet thine image everywhere. By releasing the I-ness in me, I will know that I am thou, and that thou alone art the little egos of us all. Before I say anything about the reading this morning, I wanted to just say to everyone that our dear friends Kushi and Piyush are currently in Stanford Hospital. She's having contractions. They are about to have their baby, though probably it'll be a little while for a number of reasons, but they're fine. They're having a little girl. Her name will be Adi Shri. It's a beautiful name that really, in essence, means a very highly elevated one. So as the day goes by today, let's just hold all three of them in our prayers. We always love it when we have a baby at Ananda. I always feel that we're just helping to carry on our whole community and all of Master's work and Swamiji's work. So it really is a moment of great joy to welcome this little one into the world. And we'll send the word out when she's born, when she makes her appearance. I kept telling them all week, she's just so happy in the home where she is. And then they wrote back, well, let's hope that she's about to be just as happy in this new home. I think they were ready to have her here. So she's at last making her grand entrance. This is an extraordinarily powerful, reading. It really is a reading that says, both from Jesus and from the way that Swamiji so beautifully interprets it for us, it just says, wake up. Life is not what it seems to be. And in no uncertain terms, Jesus comes and he says that. Now, I can say no uncertain terms, but as I read Jesus' words, and then I read even the title, the way Swamiji titles this talk for this week, Victory Demands the Courage of Conviction. Those are strong words. Victory, demand, courage, conviction. And I realized that he is, by way of titling it like that for us, he's defining it for us. And I thought, once again, how could we ever have understood these words? And I think about how many people have come to me over the years and said to me, I was born and raised Christian or Catholic, but I never understood what Jesus was saying until I came here. I thought a lot of it for me was because I was born and raised Jewish and I was so dependent on just hearing little bits here and there. I really knew nothing of these teachings until I came onto this path. But it's not just me. I mean, you read this reading, and I said to myself yesterday, who other than an avatar, or one as highly evolved as Swamiji, could really understand this? What is victory? What does victory mean to most people? Well, it certainly means something very different than overcoming Maya, than overcoming the illusion that we're separate from anything, never mind the divine, or that we live with limitation. These are all the illusions and delusions, and victory means overcoming that, really moving beyond anything and everything, every thought, all of the ways that we move through life containing ourselves. It just so happens that we started a course last week on the book Courage, Calmness, and Confidence. I keep forgetting that no matter where I am. And I'm teaching the class. Don't let that worry you. It's still a good class. And we did this section on courage. What an extraordinary book it is. But Master says in there, he talks about it, he says, courage is an innate quality of the soul. Well, what does that mean? If it's an innate quality of the soul, it reminded me of Patanjali's yamas, where they're saying, you already are all of these things. Peace, you already are truth. And of course, Patanjali just goes on through the five yamas. Master's saying, courage is an innate quality of the soul, says to all of us, it's ours. We have it. We don't need to find courage or to figure out ways of creating courage. We need to spend as many minutes, seconds of our life as we can getting rid of everything that gets in the way of that courage just evolving, because we need courage to be victorious in this life. That's what this reading is saying, and that's what Swamiji's interpretation is saying. So we need to get to that. Master said very beautifully somewhere, he said, there's no objective reality in this world to sorrow, but the lack of courage, his word was the dearth of courage, makes us feel sorrowful, makes us feel fearful, makes us, gets in our way of attaining all of our spiritual goals. He literally says that it's purely a lack of courage. It's such a meaningful word here that it's already in us. And then, of course, convictions. That just means that we're willing, that we're able, that we're going to commit ourselves to living according to the teachings that we signed on for, and we did sign on. Swamiji has said many times, don't forget what it is that pulled you onto this path, that drew you onto the path, and pulled some of us. Maybe we were kicking and screaming, but that got us here. What was it that got us here? We can't lose sight of that. Master also said, again, because I just was looking at everything he said about courage that I could find in our teachings. But it's so much the essence of this path for us and what our goal is. That's why it brought it so crystal clear for me last week. But he said, we already have within us all of the strength, all of the intelligence, which means really wisdom, not intellectual intelligence, and all of the courage to meet every difficulty that comes our way. That, again, is such a powerful thing to hear. And in essence, it's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, I'm coming to you, and I'm coming with a sword. So if we look at the sword in that victory, courage, conviction, where does it fit in? I mean, when you think of a sword, you think it's not a very subtle, loving, that's not how we receive that word. It's a sword of discrimination. It's that fine edge of the most perfect knife in the world that would cut through all of our delusions, that would bring us to the very edge of discrimination, and to use our discriminating faculty to continuously remind ourselves, what is our duty here? What is our duty? Our duty is every opportunity that we have, given every situation that presents itself to us. Every situation comes with an opportunity to look towards the light, to move closer to God, and every opportunity for each of us individually is our duty. And duty, or dharma, is really just that pulls us along this path, that opens up our lives and lets us move again closer to our goal. Life really is a battlefield. This is why Jesus brought in the image of the sword. It's hard. This is hard work. I read so many interpretations of Swamiji expounding on this talk, and so many of his pieces too on courage. And over, he says, this is hard. The spiritual life is not simple. This is why he says, it's not for armchair devotees. Isn't that just a beautiful image? You think of somebody just lounging in an armchair. No, that's not what's going to make us victorious. What's going to make us victorious is something that requires much more power, commitment, courage, conviction. Again, exactly why these words were so carefully and perfectly chosen by Swamiji. I thought to myself, if we all just kept saying, victory demands the courage of conviction. Victory demands the courage of conviction. What a beautiful affirmation, statement, all the time, every day, all day. When something gets hard, when we want to back up from it, this image of the battlefield came to me. And then I recalled just last night, the master was Arjuna. He's told us that. In a past life, he was Arjuna. And what do we know about Arjuna? Arjuna did not want to fight this battle. He fought with Krishna. Not easy. Remember, it's not easy. So Arjuna turns to God himself, says, I'm not doing this. And in a moment of a little bit of a temper tantrum, he throws down his bow and arrow. He throws it on the ground until Krishna says to him, you must fight this battle. Your life depends on it. And Krishna picks up, Arjuna picks up that bow and arrow and finds the courage of his conviction. He represents every one of us. And he fights. And of course, he wins. In that life, Master told us, he became free. Victory demands the courage of our convictions. He fought and he became free. Now, what does that mean for us? We're not sitting in Krishna's chariot. Maybe some of us are. Maybe some of us are closer to taking that final ride. But we're not being called to that epic story. We are each of us writing our own story. We're not given the life of Yogananda, who was called and told, this is why you've incarnated this time. You're going to go to the West. You're going to take these teachings. You're going to make them clear for millions, which he has, thank God. And you're going to bring Kriya to the West. That's not ours. What is ours? Ours is to show up at least each day and confront our fears and confront our negativity and confront the notion that we're limited, to confront greed, all of these qualities within us. That's why we were born in this life. And because we were drawn to this path, because we had an avatar who came for us, who's guiding our way through Swamiji, but guiding us nonetheless, we have a great job to do. And if we get honest in each moment, this is hard, we no longer find joy in living with those qualities. It's not joyful to live with fear. It's not joyful to be angry or competitive. The joy for us now is right in that battle. Imagine that, just like for Master as Arjuna. I had a very powerful experience that went on for me late last night and into the night. I recently, I want to be accurate because I did feel hurt by somebody, but it also was, it was a powerful experience for me of misconnect and disconnect with another human being that matters in my life. Let me just put it that way, close enough. And this happened a couple of weeks ago. There's been no communication. And last night, I wrote her a letter. And I kept reading that letter. And I sent it to a very good friend of mine. And I said, what do you think? And as I hit send, I said to myself, you know, Shanti, the fact that you have to send it to your friend to see what it feels like tells you everything you need to know. If you felt this letter was coming right from God, you wouldn't ask anybody. You joyfully hit send. So she carefully read the letter, sent it back. I made a little correction. How about this? I said to her, and I send it off again with the same consciousness, the same knowing. And I finally just put the letter down. And at 4 o'clock this morning, I got up and I wrote her a very beautiful letter. I felt it was very beautiful. It was a letter filled with love. And it was saying, we have so much between us. Let us not, through any little quirk in this world that isn't real in our relationship. Our relationship was made of love and it was acted out in love and of love. We have to get back there. And I was able to give her a lot and tell her all of the ways that she's behaved beautifully. And after I sent it to my friend and I said, here's the letter I sent. Not, what do you think of it? Because it never felt right. I didn't like being with that hurt, contracted. I wanted to be behaving, living in the battle. I wanted to win that battle. The words came to me as I hit send this morning, the words in one of Swamiji's songs that says, break ego's spell. You know, I haven't really ever focused on those words, though I've sung them literally hundreds of times. But then I thought, what is it that breaks ego's spell? It's courage, because the ego has a real hold on us. It does on all of us. But every time we joyfully enter the battle, every time we don't give in and hit send spitefully, angrily, too soon, we're doing what we were called to do. It takes courage because, you know, it Maya is so good at what it does. Situations get set up in our lives and it looks so much like it's coming from God. The situation just looks perfect and we think, oh, absolutely, I'm doing her a favor by sending this letter. Look at all she'll learn. Look at the inspiration that flows through me. We cannot give in to that. We have to listen for that little, why are you sending this to your friend? And not with all of our egoic energy barge through it. We were brought here with courage innate in us to find every way we can in every moment to act on it. I was thinking of the saint last night. I think it was Swami Shankara, I'm pretty sure, who said, babies spend their whole life preoccupied with their toys. Adults are preoccupied with work and money and sex. Older people get preoccupied with their bodies and all of the ailments. And he said, who's preoccupied with God? And I thought when that thought came in last night, that has to be us. We were called here this time to do it. Don't forget what it was that called us onto this path. Those are Swamiji's words. Remember that very moment when you discovered the path or when you knew that you had to follow these teachings and just how strong it was in that moment. I listened to a story recently about a woman who sort of desperately wanted to be in a certain field and do a certain kind of work. And it just wasn't coming and wasn't coming. She was doing volunteer work in the field, doing everything she could do to sort of bolster her curriculum vitae, not making money. And then somebody gave her the autobiography. She read it. She found Ananda very early, like in the first weeks while she was coming to Ananda. She gets a letter from where she was volunteering. And the letter says, we just got a grant. We have a paid position for you. Come back. Now, we can hear that. Boy, would that be easy to feel that God was calling to us. Wouldn't it? It's like my job. I've been working towards it. It's all I've wanted. But that's the way delusion is. Then fortunately, she said to me, no, I knew my place was in Ananda. I wasn't leaving. I wasn't going to move. I'm not getting pulled back. But you can just see, and I feel the further on this path we go, it's almost like those little stories. Well, it's true. It's like the difference between grade school and working on a postdoc. I've said it before. The work gets harder, you know? You get towards the top of the mountain. You can see it pretty clearly, but it's steeper. There's a lot of scree on the mountain. You take two steps forward and you fall back at least one and a half. And all of a sudden you realize that that distance, if you don't focus, if you don't bring energy, if you don't bring willingness, if you don't bring dedication, it's a very slippery slope. And we have been called, just like that woman knew, to do it. I'll share with you because I have a few minutes. The other thing that came to mind yesterday is a story that I've told before about it comes from the book, The Art of Racing in the Rain. And that's a book that's told The narrator is a dog, and I had that book for several years before I would read it because I just kept saying to myself, you're not into stories that are told by dogs. I mean, of all the lack of time you have in the world. Whatever had me read it at some point, I don't know. It's a very great book. It's a beautifully written spiritual book that is told by a dog who knows. He knows that in his next incarnation, he'll be human. And in the story, he serves the role really as the guru in a way. The dog and his owner, I don't remember the owner's name, the dog's name is Enzo. They're very, very close. They're both totally into car racing. And the owner of the dog, the master, although the roles are reversed, actually races cars, and he loves to race in the rain. He's gotten very good at it. And they clearly communicate a lot. Anyway, this one of the final scenes in the book is, and oh, the dog has said, I forgot, it's very important, the two things that bother the dog, obvious that he can't speak. There's so much he wants to say, but he can just use his body to communicate and to show yes or no, this is good or this is bad. So he's gotten very good at communicating with his body to his owner. The other thing is that he can't approximate his thumb and forefinger. So he can't ever pick anything up and carry it and show something like that. In this scene, the owner's gotten into a little trouble, and there's a couple of lawyers, and the lawyers are trying to convince this man who's being sued that even though he didn't do anything wrong, he should just pay the money and get on with it. Just pay the money. We know you didn't do it wrong. You know you didn't. But the dog who's sitting with Dharma, really sitting in Dharma, and is very clear, and he wants to say, do not sign the papers. And he feels very strongly about it. But the lawyers are pushing, and the owner picks up a pen and goes to sign it. By the way, parenthetically, hold in mind that this is about us staying true to our path and doing everything we need to do, everything, as you'll see in a moment, to keep us on our path. Finally, the dog just picks up the papers in its mouth and runs and starts running around with it. And the owner's saying, Enzo, get back here. What are you doing? And Enzo's like shaking the papers in his head like this. He does not want this owner to sign these papers. And they come over and they're about to take the papers from Enzo. So Enzo says in the book, what did I have left? And he lifted his leg on the papers. I'm not going to say the few words that sort of capsulize what he did to those papers, but suffice it to say, he ruined them. And it's a very poignant lesson, actually, in the book. I mean, it's a beautiful story. The dog was holding Dharma, was holding the toughness of the race and what it meant to stick to the race, particularly in the rain, and not be sliding around, to hold your course. And that's for us. That's what we're being asked to do. We do it in every way we know. We do it with japa, we do it with meditation, we do it with selfless service. We keep doing it. I'll just end with this, one of the other two things, actually. But one of the other statements that Master made, so I'm looking here just to get these words right, when he was talking about courage, and these words were so important to me. I mentioned them in the class. He said, joyfully look to all of your hard work. Use fervent spiritual endeavor. Listen to those words, fervent spiritual endeavor. They're big words, joyfully, fervently. And then the last line of that three-line quote was plunge into the battle. This is coming from Master. This is what's spurring us on. This was his energy. Without hesitation, Swamiji always said, if you let the fear in there, if you let hesitation in there, if you let doubt, you're totally diminishing the flow of energy that is trying to come through in this battle. When Devi was writing Swami Kriyananda's a little biography, and it's called Faith is My Armor, she was interviewing Swamiji at one point to get a few points right. And she said to him, you know, Swamiji, I don't know if I could have stuck to this battle the way you did. I doubt I could have, with everything that you were up against. And he looked at her and he said, I didn't know if I could either, but faith is my armor. Isn't that beautiful? Faith is my armor. You know, Swamiji just embodied so many of these beautiful, noble spiritual qualities. Certainly courage, certainly faith. And yet he never, ever looked like he was working on it. He realized, at least at a very young age, if not as he came in, that courage, as Master said, courage is an innate quality. Swamiji lived with that. Swamiji is our example. And when he said, very honestly, I didn't know if I could either, but faith is my armor. Let's all just leave today holding that, reciting the title of this talk. Victory demands the courage of conviction, and faith is our armor.
Whence do they come? One. hands, feet, serve.